Hello and welcome to the Pop Console Podcast. I am your host. My name is Jacob. And before I get into today's episode, first of all, I'm going to open this beer. I would like to refresh my podcast listeners with the goals of this podcast. Now, sorry for that. Get shit out of my way. Goals. So number one goal, the number one biggest stretch goal is obviously make so much money that I can build the mansion from Resident Evil 1, and live in it, without the death. So that's pretty high up there. That's going to be pretty hard to attain. Now the other two goals I had recently thought of, well, first of all, the number one goal is just to have fun, have a good old time, but, you know, that's, you know, whatever. The other goals, is get sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company, because I drink those beers on this show pretty much, exclusively. This is not an advertisement. They do not sponsor me, but they should. That's why I'm saying this. All kinds of their beer I was drinking. Right now I'm drinking a Green Line. It's really nice, actually. So, see if that happens. Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. And the third is to get sponsored by Breathe Right. You know, the makers of the Breathe Right strip you put on your nose, because I can't breathe. Not really. I use Breathe Right strips pretty much every day. And when I record, cause I don't want to be like, fuck. I don't want that to sound like that. So, yeah, I'm also obviously not sponsored by them because I'm saying that I want to be sponsored by them. And I do use them or an off-brand product. It won't be off-brand if they sponsor me, though. So, yeah, just throwing that out there. Now I'm going to get into the real meat and taters of the show, which is talk about video games. Sorry for that. It's almost as if I, you know, had two advertisements in the beginning, even though I didn't get paid for it. So that'll be the last time that happens, unless I get a substantial amount of money and or product shipped to my house. Moving on. Today's episode is about Metal Gear Solid. I have thought about this game doing this episode since the beginning. So that's what I'm going to do. Metal Gear Solid. Oh, hang on, actually. I got to get my phone. I texted my friend about this. Just had one question and he hasn't responded yet. So that's, maybe he'll respond during the later parts of the show and I will be able to give you an answer. But my question to him was, why did you buy Metal Gear Solid in 1998? Meaning, what made you say, that's a game I want to play, buy it? Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. So I don't know if he, because the cover of the game, the original game, in the PlayStation 1 jewel case, it was a double layered, a dual CD game. So, halfway through the game, you gotta, you know, pop in the second disc. So, it was a thicker case, but, the cover art was just white. The background is just white, and then it has the Metal Gear Solid logo in all red. And I think it's like shiny red. It's beautiful. It grabs your attention without actually having, you know, having nothing to do with, you know, there's no like character designs on it or anything. And speaking of character designs, the designer from the Metal Gear series, Yoji Shinkawa is a great artist, and his art is pretty iconic for this this series. If you've seen it, you've seen it, and you know what I'm talking about. Google it. So yeah, I wanted to know why he bought it. Like, did he see it in a magazine? I don't know. You know, who knows? I don't know. So text me back, you son of a bitch. Okay, so when I first played it, though, I think it was probably at his house. This friend of mine, I would guess, and I don't really remember, but I'm just thinking here. I would guess that it was in his basement on a small TV. So that's where, there would be like, just like toys and games and shit and, you know, whatever else, laundry. So I'm pretty sure the PlayStation 1 was down there at some point, and we played it sitting on the floor, looking up at the small TV. And then I'm pretty sure he just played it and showed me, and I would just watch him play, because I doubt that I tried to play that game because of the controls at the time. It's one of those things where he was probably like, "Hey, do you want to play?" I was like, "I don't know. You're better at it. You just play it." So I don't know. It's a weird game to probably play with friends, because you're essentially just watching a movie together. But I do remember, and this sounds crazy, and like almost like the ultimate spoilery shit back in the day, but I'm pretty sure we played Psycho Mantis, the Psycho Mantis fight. Everything's going to be a spoiler about this game, by the way. You should have played it by now. And if you didn't, go listen to something else. But I'm pretty sure we played the Psycho Mantis fight, and he showed me that, like, because he had a DualShock controller, and he showed me that he moves the controller so the controller vibrates. So yeah, that was cool, but I didn't like experience that organically through my own playing. There's another story about that later. But yeah, so I didn't, so it was just fun to play with him. And, I'm pretty sure he also showed me the Revolver Ocelot torture scene. We kept playing, and then you get to that scene. And it's like right after that, I think. No, because then you gotta go get the sniper rifle, and it's a whole fucking thing. Then you shoot that, and then you go. So so we get to the torture scene, and Revolver Ocelot's, "You better not use auto fire, or I'll know." And he was like, he has this third party controller, and he's like, "Click auto fire." The game didn't know, because we beat it by holding the button down. So that was funny. I always thought that was pretty comical. Yeah, so you can get away with that. Oh, I should try that with, I have a turbo button on a PS4, PS3 controller. It was that one I talked about in my controller episodes. The first person shooter by Hori, the first person shooter controller. There's a turbo button on that. I should go play Metal Gear Solid 1 on PS3 and see if it works, the turbo button on that scene. Probably won't, but we'll see. So, you know, I've seen him play the game at this point. I liked it. I thought it was cool. It was like, just everything's cool about it. It's a cool character, cool setting, cool stuff that you do. You know, like a soldier with a gun, and you're like, "Ooh, sneaking around." So yeah, stealth game, the most popular stealth game, I would say. That's not controversial. I don't think that's controversial. And I don't know if I definitely never played another stealth game, anything like that. I mean, it's one of the first, so that had to be it. But I watched him play it a few times, and I was like, man, I want to see this whole game. So he let me borrow it. And man, shout out to him, because I borrowed all of his shit. And without him, I wouldn't even be a fan, probably, of a lot of PlayStation games. So I borrow it. I put it in. I remember showing my brother at the time. So I bring the game home, and I'm like, dude, you got to play this fucking game. You got to see this shit. Just being around and in the first section, I was like, check this out. And you get on the ground, and you're crawling. I'm like, dude, you can crawl. I'm like, what? That's incredible. It's pretty incredible. And then I was like, and I remember my brother was like, can you get under that desk? And I crawled under the desk, and then I think it went all, like, first person. It might not have went first, but I think it did. And we're like, oh, dude, you can fucking get under stuff and hide? No fucking way. That's insane to think about today. Getting under a desk was like, dude, this game's fucking sick. I didn't say that I don't say that stuff. I do say that now. And then the other thing was, you have cigarettes. And I was like, dude, you can smoke in the game. And I was like, what? Why? I'm like, well, in order to get through some laser parts, you can blow the smoke and then see the laser beams. And I was like, and it kills you. What? Smoking in the game depletes your health. And I was like, that is so fucking cool. Like, what? Just funny. It's like crazy. Like, you thought to put in a mechanic where blowing smoke on laser beams reveals them, but if you use it too much, you'll die because smoking's bad for you. Like, that's just fucking, that's like, as you'll find out, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later, Hideo Kojima, who is the director, if you don't know, if you should know, if you're listening to this, I don't know. Maybe somebody stumbles upon these podcasts and is like, I don't know anything about video games. You're still welcome here. So that was, the game came out in 1998. So that means in September, this game will be old enough to drink. So that's pretty cool. At least for the North American version. Right? I don't know. Let me click on this. Oh. October for North America. So it's an October game in North America. Cool. Anyway. I'm just reading the Wikipedia page right now, so that's pretty good content. Okay. So I was talking about smoking and drinking now with Metal Gear. And Hideo Kojima. So, I'll just go back to when I borrowed the game. And I play, after, you know, just showing my brother, like, oh, look at all this cool stuff you can do. I really got into the game. Just started playing. And, everything about it, I loved. I loved the characters. Like, main characters, side characters, the villains, all of it. I love, and the thing I loved most about it to me, and why a lot of people probably don't like the game, especially then, was the cinematography. Like, I was like, this is a movie. Now, if you go back and play this game, it looks like real bad. Like, it looks, boy, everything is polygonal and muddy and disgusting, but because nostalgia is the most powerful drug, possibly. Maybe not, you know. I haven't done meth or cocaine, but because in this podcast it is the most powerful drug, I can play these games right now and be fine. Like, there's something about playing it then and going back and playing it now. You can be objective about it and say, the graphics are bad, and the controls are bad, and blah, blah, blah. You can go on and on about all the design choices they had to make, essentially, because of the technology at the time, or design choices they thought they had to make. But for me, it's having played it so many times and fallen in love with it so much, then playing it now, it doesn't, it's like you are completely, you have rose colored glasses on, you are just like, it just shoots you back to when you play, you're like, I know where to go, I know what I gotta do. You're in a whole nother mindset, I feel like, from playing it as like, ugh, like, wow, that's, I don't know, maybe that's just me. But yeah, so I have played the game recently, I'd say within the last few years. Not the whole game, just pop it in. I think the last time I played it, I was at my in-laws, and I got to the Gray Fox fight. And I got my ass whooped a bunch of times. I was like, fuck, I can't. I was like, there's no gimmicks. You just run and you got to punch the shit out of them because you can't shoot them. You can chaff grenade them, I think. But at the end of the day, you just got to beat his ass. So I don't know. But what I was trying to say is, like, I know that younger people who would have, like, if they, okay, if on PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5 they ever come out with a collection with all of them. I know there is a collection on PS3, but, you know, we're already 5 years into the PS4, so let's say kids today, they get a PS4 or a PS5, and they play, you know, and they release a collection, and they play these games, and they go back and play that game, it's going to be rough. They're going to be like, what the fuck was this shit? And I understand that. I'm saying from my perspective, I don't care in the next 50 years, God willing that I survive, that I can go back and play this and just, you just play it. It's just like the Resident Evil games. They're horrible, the controls and the camera angles, by today's standards. But I can just play them because I did. I already know. I already have that language built into my fingers. I just know how they work. It might take a few seconds to get used to, but other than that, it's fine. I love, one of the things I love about Metal Gear Solid 1 is the inventory system. You've got the L2 and R2. Brings up the left trigger, would bring up items like health or chaff grenades, or maybe I could be wrong about that. Now I look like an asshole in my own podcast. Night vision and little gadgets and shit, and then the right trigger will bring up weapons, grenades, shit like that, and breaking story. My friend has just texted me and said, I think they had a cardboard cutout of Snake on an end cap at whatever store that was, and his dad just let him get it. That's fucking cool. That's like a real advertisement right there. Like, yo, this looks fucking awesome. Can I have this? Yeah. And now I'm typing to him, you're in my podcast. So there you go. Man, that's crazy. You should have fucking stole that cardboard cutout. You know, missed opportunity, but you didn't know it was going to be the coolest fucking game in the world. You did after you played it. Could have went back. The cardboard cutout was still back, still there. Could have drove back there and said, "Hey, I'll give you $20 for that." And some fucking kid working there would have been like, "Yeah, I don't give a shit." No, I don't know. They usually frown upon that, but cool. All right, so we got that answer. So there you go. Just like the, I wonder if it was what it looked like. Maybe I'll Google search some shit and put a thumbnail on my website of a cardboard cutout. Maybe I can ask him as well. If it's like, was it this one? So back to the inventory system. That was all I had to say about it. I just thought it was a cool inventory system. And in MGS1, at least, I know, you didn't have a lot of firefights because there was no aiming down the sights. It's like you could shoot and aim, but you never really wanted to. It didn't feel good to fight like that. You weren't going in to a scenario like a, you weren't like sneaking into the warehouse, like a warehouse, and going like, "I'm going to blow everybody's head off here." You know, you wanted to get by without being spotted at all. You didn't even want to have a confrontation at all. And I think that helped, or the controls and the camera angle helped that fact. Like, you couldn't really see that what the fuck you were doing, where you were going. And that was like, it was almost scary because it was like the unknown was in front of you. But I mean, there was a radar system that gave you their cone of vision. So you could say, "Okay, I can go here without being spotted." And I never felt like I wanted to engage in a shootout in those games. But as I record this at the, 22 minute mark, in 30 seconds, I think I am not done. I'm going to keep talking about this game, but I was going to do 1, 2, and 3 in this episode and save 4 for another one, but I'm just going to do this game because I could ramble on about this shit for fucking ages. So anyway, I don't know why I said that during the middle of the fucking podcast, but that's what you come here for. So we're just having a good time. We're just crack a beer. Okay, so Metal Gear Radar. I don't even know what to talk about, really. It's just like, so I can go into playing the game again for the first time and getting. So earlier I had said that I didn't organically make it to the Psycho Mantis fight and see the controller move. But I remember playing that for the first time, and actually, I'm going to go back a second. I think in one of the earlier episodes, I talked about the codec on the back of the case, and I'll fucking tell that story again if I didn't, because I'm not sure. But I remember, so I borrowed the game, and I'm not sure. I think I borrowed it in a sleeve. I want to say that I borrowed it in a sleeve. I cannot remember. And I know I'd text him right now and get you the answer, but he's not going to remember. It's fucking 21 years ago. Or it will be. So it's 20 years ago. But I didn't have the case. And in a part of the game, you're supposed to contact a character by codec. It's like a radio, and you have to type in these frequencies. And I believe, I'm going to say it now, and then I'm going to look it up, but I believe the frequency is 148.80, and I probably super wrong on that, but hang on. Let me get my keyboard.
I had to move my keyboard because I was pausing the podcast.
All right, so it was, oh my God, I'm blanking on fucking people's names. Metal Gear. Dude, I cannot remember the person's name. Meryl. Fuck. Meryl Silverberg. Meryl Silverberg. Codec. I spelled that wrong. Let's click on that. I wanna know what did I say? I said 148.80. No one is answering on this thread. This is an IGN thread because everyone's saying it's on the back of the case. It is 140.15. 140. So I was super wrong on that. That could have been somebody else that I said. Anyway, sorry. But, yeah, so you needed to get in contact with her for the game to progress. And I'm sitting there going like, well, what the fuck is it? And theoretically, you could have just gone through every number, but there's a lot of fucking numbers. So, and I didn't have the internet. Like, I didn't have high-speed internet. I didn't have... Back then, you get on the internet, and whoever is on the phone gets kicked off. That's how fucked up that was, you know? Try going back to that. Growing up in that time, it's fine because it's new. But if you try to get on the internet right now and your fucking brother's fucking phone call gets disconnected or your dad's and he's on a important call, aw, man, you fucked up. Don't do that. So, that was to say that I didn't have, you know, the internet, high-speed internet, easily accessible. So I call him on the phone. So I pick up a phone that's attached to the, that's corded into the wall, right? And then I pick the phone up and I physically press the buttons that I remembered his house phone number on. And it dials and then possibly more than likely parents pick up. I'm like, hey, is he there? Can I speak to him? Sure. Yo. And then, you know, now I'm not talking to the parents. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? How do I progress through this game? It says I need this fucking code for this woman. He's like, and it's on the back of the box. It's on the back of the case. And then he's got to go dig up the case and tell me. Now, either that was the story or he told me, look in the back of the box, which so he might have given me the case. But and then it doesn't matter. I can make whatever I want up because it's my life. It's my podcast. But one of those two scenarios happened. And then I progressed and I get to the Psycho Mantis fight and I'd already seen the rumbling controller bullshit. And, but what I didn't realize was, cause I think he just showed it to me. We didn't like play the whole thing. At least maybe we did. Dude, it's a fucking long time ago. But, I remember playing it and being like, dude, I can't shoot this fuck. And I go to the wall where the phone is connected, and I pick it up, and I go, beep, 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 beep. And no, I don't remember his phone number. No. And I call again, and, you know, I get him on the phone, and I say, hey, I'm shooting this guy, and he's dodging all my fucking bullets, dude. What the fuck? And he's got to be like, You gotta unplug the controller and put the controller from the controller one into the controller two slot. What the fuck? So it can't read your mind because the guy's dodging all your bullets because he's reading your mind. He's, you know, he knows you're going to press the button to shoot. That's next level shit. Okay, that is fourth wall breaking at its finest. And then the TV's turning off, and I'm like, fuck, TV's broken. And then it's not broken. It says Hideo and not video in the top left because the creator's name is Hideo Kojima. And he's like, ha ha, I made you think your TV's broken, idiot. And I'm like, God damn it. What a boss battle. So I put the controller in the third spot, shoot this fucking guy. It's a whole thing. Kill him. Go to the other thing. Keep playing. The other thing, meaning the rest of the game. I think the last time I called him for help, I was at the very end fighting Liquid Snake in Metal Gear Rex. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, I'm so tiny. I'm running around, hiding boxes. I can't. I think he was just like, yo, you just got to shoot him. Like, quit being a little bitch. Get out there with your Stinger missiles and shoot that asshole in the face. That's what I did. Beat the game. And then I beat it several more times. And to this day, I do not own a copy of the game, a physical copy. I do own the game on PlayStation 3 digitally. And, excuse me while I pop another beer. With my God of War bottle opener that I got at Target on sale. I think I already said that in that other episode as well. I bought Metal Gear Solid 1 on PS3 because I was like, man, this is like one of my favorite franchises of all time. And Metal Gear Solid 1 is in my top 10, I believe, games of all time. I'll talk about that later. So I buy it on PS3 and I'm playing it. And it's funny because you get to that point and I bought it digitally, right? So I'm like, wait, if I bought it digitally, how am I going to get past the part where I need her codec, Meryl's codec, if I don't have the box? There is no box, it's digital. Well, it comes with a game manual. All digital games with at least PS3 versions comes with a game manual. So you click on over to the game manual and it shows you the cover and the back of the box and all the manuals. So that's pretty fucking cool. So that's how you get past that part digitally. And in order to do it on the PS3, they didn't re-record any of the dialogue in the game. So if you ask enough times, the kernel will tell you to try and plug your controller in to a different slot. And he won't, you know, so you'll just have to use your Bluetooth controller, your DualShock or your 6-axis or whatever, and hold the middle button and then change the input to 2, and then that works. So it's still possible to do those things. And then since it was a dual disc game on PS1, on the PS3 digitally, at the time that it says, you know, you need to switch the disc, you just press OK and it says, you want to continue? Yeah. Okay. Cause there's no disc. So that's how those things work, in case you're wondering. And then my other experience with Metal Gear Solid 1 is with the remake for the GameCube called Twin Snakes. I do have a copy of this. I bought it when it released. And one of my only GameCube games. And I always loved this game for a few reasons. A lot of people aren't happy with this game. Few reasons. Number one, they changed Mei Ling's voice. I think Mei Ling used to have an accent in the first one, and they made her more American. I think I could be getting this wrong. They made her like just have like a regular old accent. Like she had no accent in the Twin Snakes. And then, so I think they recorded her whole dialogue. I think maybe they did all of them. I'm not sure. But that never really bothered me. I didn't care, as long as she's saying, you know, pertinent information that I need and whatever. The other one is that, and this one kind of, it didn't bother me at first, but then it started to bother me a little bit later. So like Snake is less of a soldier, less of a sneaky soldier boy. Oh God. Sorry. Sneaky war man. And more of a, he was more like superhero-y, where he was like doing flips and spins and, yeah, I guess the cutscenes were all reworked and they were pretty cool in their own right, but they are different. They don't, doesn't really destroy my experience too much. I mean, it is what it is. It's still a visually striking game and the cinematography is still good. So it's still a good game. And then the one that really, really destroys it for a lot of people is that they implemented Metal Gear Solid 2's control scheme into it, which means you can aim down the sights and use a tranquilizer gun, which did not appear in the PlayStation 1 game, but was in the GameCube version. So you could trank out guards from fucking miles away because you could look at them and they had like, it just seemed like they have the same AI. So they were just like wandering around. You were just like, bang, 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 bang. I win. And I get that. It does kind of break the game. They should have maybe tried to rework that a little bit. But just to play it and experience it, whatever. You're essentially just playing a movie at that point. So yeah, I have that game. That is on two discs on GameCube. And that is, yeah. Oh, in the GameCube version. So here's the story I was alluding to earlier, which you've already forgotten about because I've been rambling. But when I played the Psycho Mantis fight with my friend and he showed it to me, so I didn't get that, like, I wasn't like alone, you know, at night, you know, on a Saturday in my bedroom going like, oh, what the fuck? And because I have stories like that on the second game, but we'll get into that episode later. But so I'm playing GameCube version. I get to the Psycho Mantis fight. I'm like, I already know, dude. I'm going to unplug the fucking controller and plug it in the second one. I already got you. And he did something I didn't even realize that he did in the first game. It never happened to me. I never saw it. I had just been playing Super Mario Sunshine. I borrowed that from one of my other friends. Because I had just gotten the GameCube. I didn't have any games. Not many. Like I said, he let me borrow Resident Evil Super Mario Sunshine. And I bought Twin Snakes. And so I had been playing Super Mario Sunshine, having a good time. And I was like, I gotta play this Metal Gear game. Put it in. And then Psycho Mantis was like, I see you've been playing Super Mario Sunshine. And I was like, what the fuck? That freaked me out because I didn't know that was a thing. And I was, and yeah, it's very, I mean, yeah, you can program that shit. I get it. He's not really like reading my mind. He's reading the memory card and it's a Nintendo game. He could probably only do that with a handful of games. First of all, they'd have to record the dialogue and they'd have to program it into the game. But that was one of the games that they did it to and it fucking freaked me out for about 15 seconds. So that was, I did get that experience totally organically and not spoiled for me. So if you're listening and you never had that experience and it is now spoiled for you, sorry. But you're not going to play the GameCube, so it doesn't matter. Where to go from here? Metal Gear. Yeah, I played it, over the years. it's one of those Resident Evil situations where I'd probably play it once a year, and I borrowed it from my friend like once a year. I'm like, hey, I want to play Metal Gear again. And it's always been one of my favorite games. I remember Solid Snake was always, and probably still is, like the fucking coolest dude. Like, there's a lot of cheesy shit in dialogue or whatever, and I don't know. I just love it. I loved every boss battle. I loved all the little details in the game, and there was like multiple ways to do stuff. Like, you could get through the cave sequence, or like through the mountainous area past these wolves normally, but you'd have to backtrack, and then instead of fighting the wolves or getting injured, if you I can't remember how, but if you got there's like these little wolf pups, and if you get peed on by one of them, you have to be in a cardboard box, and if they pee on you, it smells like them, and then if you run through the rest of that area with the pissed on cardboard, the rest of the wolves smell it and they don't attack you. Like, just the littlest, tiniest shit like that is just makes the game something else. And there's a sequence where you're locked in prison and you're trying to get the guards to open up the door, and if you wait long enough, Gray Fox eventually comes and saves you. But if not, if you have the ketchup, I don't know, I can't remember where you get the ketchup. Maybe they just have it. You spill the ketchup while you're laying on the ground, and then the guards are like, oh, he's bleeding, and they open the door, and then you can attack him. It's just crazy shit like that. And obviously the Psycho Mantis fight, that was like, every part of that was insane. Like I said, he can read your mind, so you have to change the controller. He reads your memory card. He shakes your controller. He does all this crazy shit. It's really cool. And the music, I'll tell you what, Psycho Mantis' hymn, that's a really great tune. It's what he uses for his mind control. I love that tune. Like, I can listen to that. It's a little ominous, a little creepy, but it's really, really beautiful. Yeah, and multiple endings, which I guess they just kind of, they picked an ending. They undid what they did. In Metal Gear Solid 4, I know I'm jumping ahead, but I'm not going to talk about the game, but in the original Metal Gear, if you survive the torture sequence, which you just had to button mash X, then at the end of the game, Meryl will live, and you ride off in a fucking sunset. If you give up because you don't want to die, then you and Otacon ride off into the sunset, and Meryl dies. But in Metal Gear Solid 4, they are both alive, and they just totally were like, nah. So that, you know, whatever. It's whatever. I don't know. And they don't try to undo, oh, well, she actually survived when you did that, or he actually survived. They just don't even talk about it. Yeah. So I don't know. I could go on and on. I'm not going to go into like crazy detail about like, even though that was the point of the podcast when I started it. Like, everything. Characters, good. Sound effects, good. Music, good. Art direction, good. Cutscenes, good. I like them, so they're good. I don't care how long they are. I like the codec cutscenes because I just wanted to be with the characters. I wanted to hear what they had to say. high drama, man. So there you go. There you go. That's the Metal Gear Solid 1 episode. We're approaching an hour, and I will not do 2, 3, or 4. 2 and 3 might be a whole episode together. And 4 is definitely a whole episode together. So maybe I'll record 2 and 3 soon and get that up, and then maybe 4. But if you would like to reach out to me and tell me if you've ever found love on the battlefield, or I don't know, like if you've ever peed your pants in a locker because you were scared, just, you know, reach out to me on Twitter. You can find me at Popcon Jacob. It's PopconJacob. You know, I will see you next week.